wonder at your majesty. We wonder at who you are. Let your spirit fill this place and fill our hearts. Let us honor you with all we do, with our lives, with our worship. Let us be living sacrifices for you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much, worship team. Tanya is back from her kind of local honeymoon. And in fact, there's going to be a Tanya sighting at 11 o'clock. She's going to attend the 11 o'clock service. But thank you so much for taking things on. We really appreciate great work that you guys did. Ryan was kind of leading this morning, kind of headed it up. And we appreciate that. How you guys doing, man? You good? 2019 is here, and I think it's a wonderful year that's before us. I'm really excited about it, and I want to let you know, just give you a little update on our finances. So we've got a slide to put up there, and we had a whirlwind of contribution at the end of the year, and we ended up this year with a $14,000 surplus. So we went into December with about a $75,000 deficit, but the giving pattern of our church is lots of people give at the end of the year, and the Lord did not disappoint. He met our every need and then some, so I want to thank you so much for that. And it's just, the Lord told me a long time ago, we're in our 18th year as a church. We finished 17 years in November, and the Lord told me when I before I started the church, he said, "Joe, you're always going to have everything you need to do financially to do what I need you to do." And he has proven that. And I'm very grateful for that. So thank you for participating in that. By the way, Doug, our children's pastor who had the open heart surgery, he will be here in the second service as well. So if you want to see Tanya and Doug, you have to hang around a little bit. Don't overwhelm Doug because he just had the surgery. But he's on the mend, doing much, much better. And he's going to be here today. So, all right. Well, I hope that you are well, and I'm very excited about what's going to happen, I believe, in our church this year. Okay, we've been at this for a while at Crossroads, and I believe that 2019, that God has a direction for us to move. As in every year, the first Sunday of the year, I share what I believe to be the vision of God's vision for our church. Now, I have to tell you, I'm not always as inspired, because the Lord doesn't always show me, like on the last week in December and the first couple of days of January, what he has for us. So sometimes I go general, but this morning I really feel like, as of late in my seeking the Lord, that he has given me a specific word for us, for where we are going to move and go as a church. So I'm really excited to tell you about what I believe is the direction that God has for us. Now, before I tell you that, where we're going to be going in 2019, where I believe God is calling us, I need to tell you about some of the things that I experienced in 2018, okay? So I'm going to give you some highlights from my 2018, which will really go right into what I believe is going to happen in 2019, okay? Highlight number one, I've got five of them from 2018. Highlight number one, in 2018, the recognition that my body is breaking down as I get older became pretty clear, okay? As my hip, my left hip, and my wrists are now in regular pain, which for some reason I kind of enjoy. I don't know why. I kind of like it. But my left hip and my wrist constantly hurt. I kind of enjoy it. As of late, Advil is making a big difference, okay? But if you don't know this, your body will break down as you get older and older, okay? The alternative is not good, so don't complain, all right? Second, in 2018, I began to regularly break 100 in my golf game. And, I was out there Tuesday. You remember the weather on Tuesday? No problem. Me and Pat were out there. We played golf the whole day, 18 holes, and I shot a 96. And I don't cheat nearly as much as I used to. So, you know, so I'm cheating less. My score is going down, so that's good. Number three, the first of my three children has found his life mate. And Chris and Kelsey will be married this April. And Tony and I are very excited about that. Okay. Number four, as a result of paying down the mortgages on my rental homes little by little, and as a result of the increase in the housing prices and rents, my real estate business is allowing me to experience a level of financial freedom I've never known before, as it seems like Tony and I have more than enough to be comfortable in what remains of our earthly lives. Now, I'm saying a lot there, okay, when it comes to finances. The idea of the key to finances is little by little, doing the right things little by little. Get-rich-quick schemes don't ever really get us rich, okay? If they do get us rich, that money usually disappears pretty quickly. But little by little, and more than enough, and, you know, our enough, we've drawn a circle of what's enough for us, and we're very comfortable with that. We have more than enough to be comfortable, just comfortable, and the remains of our earthly lives, because I'm saying a lot, the idea that we have an earthly life that has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And from the looks of some of you, you're in the past the middle stage. I know I haven't even come close to the middle stage of my life at 30, but you need to keep that in mind as we steward the finances we have. And also, I'll probably, hopefully, have something left for our financial legacy to leave to our children. And for that, we are grateful. And number five, things I learned in 2018. I experienced the death of my vision for this church. Yeah, I did. Now, that's past tense. Just so you know, relax. Some of you might be saying, oh, is he going to leave? No, he's not leaving. Okay? But I've come through it. But I experienced the death of my vision for this church. Tension and turmoil from within the church, okay, this past year. Turnover among the staff. And believe it or not, personal attacks on the pastor. That's me, the pastor. I experienced all of those this year. Contributed to the death of my vision for Crossroads. From my perspective in 2018, the church that I planted that had prided itself on making God believable by the way we act and treat each other had fallen into the trap of making God not so believable. And it was killing me. Killing me. Has that ever happened to you? Maybe you had a dream for your family and you've experienced the death of that vision because maybe things didn't go well in your marriage or with your children. And sometimes we have an idea of where we're going and sometimes those visions, those dreams die. And that's what happened to me. I told you about it a few months ago. I did a message on the death of a vision as I was trying to ask God to reignite that vision. But oftentimes we have dreams and visions for what we want to be, and those dreams and visions die, and we become very discouraged. But we're not defeated when the vision we have dies, and you'll see as I play out, because God stepped in at just the right time. At just the right time, he stepped in. And here I was, being killed by what I saw as the unraveling of relationships in the church and just things happening that just are not what I want to reflect, something that I'm leading, something that I'm a part of, something that I'm leading on behalf of God. But God stepped in. And the way he did that was the elders stepped up big time. They stepped up. They saw what was happening. And they began helping in the selection and the managing of the new staff. That's what they did. By the way, when you see some of the elders today, you need to give them a hug and say thank you, because they stepped up big time. And we don't pay them, but we should, because some of them put a lot of hours in. And they began to help in the selection and then the managing of our new staff, allowing me to continue to lead, but helping in some of the areas that I'm not so good at. Key ministry players were added and began to contribute. And I'll be honest with you, as we entered the later months, the fall, and as we moved toward the winter, we seemed to really be turning the corner, getting back on track. Yet, discouragement and feelings of failure overwhelmed me. I didn't talk about it to very many people, but I was still overwhelmed, even as the elders stepped up and played their role and the staff were being properly managed and contributions were being made and we were turning the corner. I still was struggling with intense feelings of disappointment, discouragement, and feelings of failure. And it led to an increase in my anxiety, which always leads to depression for me. When I become anxious, I become depressed. Trips this fall, vacations that I took to Mexico and San Diego, brought some relief to those negative feelings that I was experiencing. Okay, as I remember on the plane ride to Mexico, I just felt the heaviness just disappeared. And we had a blast in Mexico. And though I did have one anxious moment that I can finally tell you about that happened in Mexico. I've been wanting to tell you this story. It's kind of funny, but I can tell you now. It took me a while to recover from the trauma. But I went to Mexico, Tony and I, and Pat and Tanya Edward, okay? Tanya sings in the worship team. Pat's the guy. He's like my opposite. He's 6'6", you know, and I'm 5'4". And don't question that. Some of you questioned it. I'm 5'4". Just leave it alone. Mind your own business, okay? So we decided on that trip that in addition to having the sitting by the pool and the wonderful food, it was an all-inclusive place, that Pat and I brought our golf clubs and we were going to play lots of golf. Our wives said it was okay. So we were playing golf every day. And the one day we set up the tee time at the really expensive golf course. I negotiated the deal, so I got it pretty low. But we went out to play golf there, and we were finishing up. We finished up the first nine, and this was a spectacular golf course. Unbelievable, just beautiful. And I was loving every minute of it, playing pretty well, and we teed off on 10. And as we got, I hit a good tee shot. Pat hit a good tee shot, but there was a GPS. Now, I was driving the cart. Normally, I don't drive the cart, okay? Pat always drives. We play golf together all the time. But in this particular golf cart, the GPS was really low. So Pat being 6'6", he couldn't see where the balls were because the GPS was blocking his line of sight, so I had to drive. So I'm driving the golf cart. We tee off on 10. I hit a great shot, rivaled his, not as far as his, but almost. And we get over there, and the GPS is saying we're way further away from the hole than I think we are. I'm like, wait a second. This must be the wrong green. That's not where we are. I said, jump in the cart, and we got to go back. And he jumps in, and I take off. And I gun the thing, and I make a hard turn, and I'm driving back down the fairway, and I turn around, and I notice Pat's not in the cart anymore. And as I turn around, I'm in shock. Now, on the end of the cart is a rail. It looks like almost a triangle, and it's to hold you into the cart. As I turned and sped up, I probably made a little too reckless of a turn. So Pat slid across and snapped off the rail. So I'm driving up the fairway. I turn around and I see the rail going that way and Pat flying down the golf course. He flipped. I tried to tell the story when I got back. I couldn't because he easily could have been killed. He flipped over 2.5 times. Now, I do have to say one thing. Pat was the straightest thing I sent down the fairway that whole day. Because I sent him out of that carpet. He went straight. And my ball usually, you know. But I was like, I was in a little bit of trauma, but he was in worse shape than that. I pick him up. I'm like, are you Pat? What happened? And he's just looking at me like he. I looked at his face. He was in total shock. He had no idea who he was, where he was. He kept asking me, why are you driving? We finished the hole, okay? And he kept at, why are you driving, Joe? I kept telling him, the GPS is too low. Okay, Joe, why are you driving? And I finally realized he was pretty badly injured, and I really thought hard about continuing the course, just strapping him in, but I couldn't do it, so I drove. By the way, when people play golf with me now, the PGA has determined if I'm driving the cart, they must wear a helmet if I'm driving. I've been wanting to tell you that story for a long time. By the way, I was in shock for probably 24 hours after that because it took me 24 hours to convince myself it wasn't my fault that I almost killed him, okay? And he was all right, and he fully recovered. But other than that anxious moment, I had just the greatest time in Mexico. And I felt light and happy, no anxiety, no depression. A month or two later, I went to San Diego to see my daughter, and the same thing happened. And here I am in California, and I am feeling relief from the discouragement, from the disappointment, from the feelings of failure. And the relief I experienced on those two trips enticed me to jump out of what had begun to feel like a frying pan that I was in. That is, the frying pan was being the pastor of Crossroads Arlington Church. While in California, I decided to step down as the pastor of Crossroads. I felt like only Tony and my children and one person from this church who I go to for counsel knew about this. But I just felt like I cannot bring this church to where it needs to be. And I need to step down. And I can make it sound noble. I wanted to do it for the church. I didn't want to suffer anymore. I don't know if you've ever been at a place in your life where hanging in there means dealing with discouragement and feelings of failure. But that's where I was at. And I did it for a long time, but man, that second trip to California, I said, are you telling me that I can feel this way if I just step down from that position? And that's what I decided to do, but I didn't tell anyone. My wife was 100% opposed to that. She said, you're wrong. I said, I'm not wrong. She said, Joe, your greatest days are before you. I said, no, they're not. She said, Joe, God wants to use you. I said, no, he doesn't. I said, do you, and then I played this card. Do you really want me to keep suffering the way I have been suffering? She's like, I don't want you to, but I don't want you to quit either. And I decided to hang in there because of what she said. That's the only reason. See, sometimes when you're down and discouraged, you can't even hear God. And I don't think I was able to. I wanted to stop the pain. I didn't want to feel the way I felt anymore. And on those two trips, I was like, wow, I can have some relief. So maybe I'll just step down. But because my wife was against this, I listened to her. And I said, I will continue. And in so doing, I avoided making what would have been one of the greatest mistakes of my life if I would have stepped down as the pastor of this church. But I did not have that sense. I had to listen to my wife, who I believe, and now I know, God was speaking to her, to me through her. And if you know me well, you'd say, wow, Joe, that's a change. And I needed her. God help me. This verse I want to read to you this morning, I'm still telling you about 2018 so that we can move into 2019. This verse, I think, describes my journey perhaps better than any other. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Listen to what it says. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. Now, the word temptation is a word perismo in the Greek. I probably butchered that pronunciation. But it's the word for temptation and testing or trial are the same in the Greek. So no trial has overtaken you that is not common to man. What I was going through, others have gone through. What you're going through or going to go through, you're not the first one. It's common. God is faithful. And he will not let you be tempted or tested beyond your ability. See, when I felt like I needed to quit, it was because I was like, I can't do this. I can't do it. And I'm going against the very scriptures that I teach and believe in and base my life on. God doesn't let us be tested beyond our ability. But with the temptation or the testing or the trial, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to what? Endure it. See, I was like, man, I've been feeling this way for the past year, and that's enough. And the Lord says, no, Joe, I need about another 2 or 3 weeks. And then it's going to pass. But had I followed, gone against my wife's wishes, and had I followed, I never would have lived to experience the passing of the fear of the feelings of failure and the intense discouragement. Because about 2.5 months ago, God restored my vision for this church. He restored it. He gave it back to me. And for my role in leading us to where God wants us to be, and I could not be happier. Couldn't be happier. Some of you have noticed, maybe if you're perceptive, the change in me over the past couple of months or so. In fact, someone said that people have been saying, wow, Joe is back. Joe is back, okay? Because some of you that are perceptive had noticed that there was part of Joe that was gone. But it's better than Joe is back. It's better. Because though I am back, I have been forever changed by this year's challenges. And that means that I am not back, I'm better. I'm better. And I'm now in a new and healthier place. And I'm so excited to be the pastor of this church and to lead us forward. That is, for as long as you and the elders see me in that role, okay? And you know, when that day comes, I will be able to gladly step aside. But until then, I am so excited to be the pastor of this church. You see, my death of a vision experience in 2018 has allowed me to let go of the church and put it in the hands of the one whose it really is, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will now lead as God allows me to for as long as God allows me to. As we learned in Galatians, I am now experiencing the freedom in Christ and in ministry that God wants me to experience in a greater way than ever before as I lead this church. And I'm excited for that. So that's what, how many of you had a sense that what I shared was going on? Raise your hand if you did. Okay, yeah. I know you did because you asked me when you were starting United, I was, Joe, are you leaving? It's like, oh. Perceptive people. but sometimes God, remember what he did with Abraham? That's what I preached on a while ago. I tell you guys all the time, I preach to myself. As much as I preach to you, I preach to myself. And God was saying, Joe, let go of the church. If I take it away, I take it away. And if I leave it in your hands, you keep serving there. And I finally let go, not because I wanted to. I let go because it had become such a bitter experience for me. But do you know that God uses those times in our lives, in the lives of his servants, particularly his leaders, to make us the men and women he needs us to be so that we can lead his church and his ministries? Arthur, keep that in mind in the days ahead. Arthur has recently started a ministry, a transitional home, for people that have been incarcerated, and it's a ministry. I think it's doing great things. It's going to do great things. But Arthur, the call to ministry is not what people think it is. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes with you and the Lord for him to make you usable. Now, let me talk about my vision for 2019. I think I'm on track time-wise, though. But let's talk about where we're going to go now, okay? I am passionate about seeing us move forward to be the church that God wants and needs us to be. We have a very simple and clear vision and mission for 2018, and it is, we have it on a t-shirt that's now available. Tyler had this t-shirt designed, and this t-shirt, they're available today if you'd like to pick one up. They are $8 if you'd like one. If you're in a position that you don't have $8, that if you have $8 but you don't have it with you, you can take it and bring it. But if you're not able to afford that, take a shirt, okay? That's okay. And we just want to cover the expenses of it. But the shirt has on it our simple mission of follow, pursue, and reach, okay? And that is what I believe that we are going to be moving towards as a church this year. So let me just break that down, and we're going to talk about what it means to follow. So this is our vision for 2019, that we become a church that is following Jesus Christ. We're following him, okay? Now, you may follow Joe as the pastor of this church. You follow me as I follow Christ. But we want you to follow Jesus Christ on your own, in addition to us as a church. And by the way, when you're following me, you're following the elders, you're following the staff, it's not just me. There's a whole bunch of us that are moving together, but we don't want you just to follow Christ as the church follows Christ. We want you individually to follow Jesus Christ. So how are we going to help you to do that? Okay. First of all, I will continue teaching through the Bible this year, like I do every Sunday morning. Next week, we'll start a series, a 21-week series in the Gospel of John. 21 chapters in the Gospel of John. I will take a chapter a day. I won't be able to do every verse. I'll do a survey on some of it, and I'll focus on others, but we'll cover a chapter a week for 21 weeks, the Gospel of John. And as you and I learn about, of course, in the Gospel of John, it's about the life of Jesus. As we learn about how Jesus lived, we can follow Jesus by being like Jesus, okay? So we'll continue to do that. Second, I want you to do something this year. I want all of us. Now, if you're a leader on our church, if you're on staff, this I am basically throwing out for you the vision for us. Okay, so here's what I want everyone in the church to do. I want us to together read through the New Testament this year. And we have it's called Foundations New Testament, a 260-day Bible reading plan for busy believers. Okay, 260 days because it's designed to be 5 days a week. And we have these up front, so we're going to invite you at the end of the service to come up and pick one up. But it just breaks it up. It's not going like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. It breaks it up a little bit in a creative way. So we start reading, and it's one chapter a day. And I want to see everyone in our church be involved in this. Wouldn't it just be fun? I have other Bible readings that I do, but wouldn't it be fun if we do something where we're all doing it together? And at the end of the year, 52 weeks from now, we can say, wow, we all together read through the entire New Testament. So this is going to be something that we're going to make that available to you. You can pick them up, and let's begin starting tomorrow, or you can start today if you want. So I'm going to continue teaching the Bible. We're going to read through the New Testament as a church, and we're going to purpose to live out what we read. And number three, under follow Christ, I want us to grow in prayer. I want us to grow in prayer as individuals. So we'll encourage you to try to regularly have a prayer life. When you connect the dot between I pray, he moves, then your prayer life will exponentially grow. Because you see, it's not just something to check off a list. It's he answers, he listens, he hears, he answers our prayers. So want to encourage you to pray as individuals, but also as a church. And this Friday is our monthly Friday night prayer meeting. Once a month on Friday night, we pray. We meet from 8 to 10 o'clock, and we meet in that room. We've had as many as 40 some odd people in that room right there. It's a lounge. And I don't know. We'll decide, Gino. On Friday, the Friday of it, we pray and we decide where to put the meeting. But I want to see many of us give 2 hours once a month to come and pray for the church. What we're going to focus on in our prayer meeting this week is praying for the leaders. We're going to pray for the elders. They're going to get on their knees, and we're going to gather around each of the elders and pray for them. Why? Because the elders, we make decisions for the church that we don't own. It's Christ's church. So we have to be empowered to make decisions as unto the Lord, because it's his church. And we're going to pray for our staff, and we'll pray for some other things as well. But I want you to say, wow, I'm really glad they're praying at that church. Hopefully some of it bleeds over to me. No, we want you to come and participate and join us in crying out to God to help us to be the people and the church God wants us to be, okay? So that's our plan for following Christ. Second, we want to pursue, and pursue means pursue relationships. We have a goal, and this is something that's really under Tyler. Tyler, just stand up for a second. I want everyone to know who you are. Stand up. Okay, that's Tyler. Tyler has done such amazing things. He put our webpage together. He's helped to put together the vision in such a way that we can articulate it clearly. He put the t-shirts together. He's done all kinds of things, okay? And his area is getting people connected. That's his area. We want to see all of our people getting connected in life-giving spiritual relationships, okay? If I was a Lone Ranger, then I would be sharing my resignation with you today, and I'd have missed God's will. But because I lived out loud with my wife, I went to my children, and I went to a person that counsels me, then I was able to discover and find God's will was not to step down as the pastor at Crossroads. It's to stay here and be a part of whatever it is. If it's my greatest years, my greatest years in ministry, who cares? I don't care what it is. I'm going to be faithful to God. And I found that because I was in community. If you are a Lone Ranger Christian, you are not able to have that kind of influence and input in your life. We're not meant to go at it alone. We're meant to go at it together. So we hired Tyler, and he does so many other things, but the main thing we wanted him to do is give us a way to get our people connected so that people just don't come here on Sunday morning and then go home. I know some of you like to hear the sermon, you like the worship, but it's not enough for you to really grow spiritually. It's not enough for you to break addictive behaviors, to break habits, sin patterns in your life. You need other people in your lives. So we have what we call life groups, that where we change the name of our past life groups, but we're transitioning them into becoming places where spiritual life is developed and grown. We want you to be a part of that. We have a men's and a women's ministry that's doing the same thing. By the way, we are aligned as a church now. We're moving in the same direction, and they're just simple things that we're going to be doing. What you're hearing me say today, you're going to hear it all year long. In fact, Tyler, we have to mention this in our life group meetings. We have to mention this on Sunday mornings. We have to remind each other that, hey, we're going to try and read through the New Testament, and we have to, the things that we're taught, we have to remind people we're going to go to that prayer meeting. That prayer meeting is important because that's the boiler room for the work that happens in the church. It's in prayer that it happens, okay? But we want you to get connected somewhere. And Tyler is going to be, in fact, next week he's going to begin explaining to you how, what these life groups are going to look like and how we're going to accomplish that. So we want to follow Christ. We want to pursue relationships with each other, life-giving relationships. And number three, we want to reach. Who do we want to reach? We want to reach people. We would like to see many new people come to Crossroads and come to Christ. So we have something for you. Tyler developed this too. These are invite cards. We have a couple of thousand of them, and they're going to be available for you to pick up today. On the front, it says Crossroads of Arlington to follow Christ, pursue spiritual growth together in community, and reach our neighbors in Arlington and throughout the world. And on the back, It says services Sundays, 9 and 11. Gives our webpage, the address. And this, you need to take not one, okay? You need to take a bunch of these. And when you want to invite someone to church, say, here, take this. And they'll have a way, it'll make it a little bit easier for them to get here. Okay? So we want to see new people come, and we want to reach people with the gospel. Number two, we want to become more of a welcoming and loving church that is externally focused in Arlington and throughout the world. Okay. So one of the things that we're going to be doing is having four reach weekends this year. A reach weekend is where we focus on serving people around us. Okay. And the first we're going to have is Numana. Numana is the packing event to feed the people that don't have enough food. And our goal this year is to, we're a little behind in our goal. We have about $2,000 that's come in so far, and we need $20,000 to reach our goal of 70,000 meals. And this year we'll be sending those meals to Haiti. So here's the plan. For that, we collect change, and you have some change jars, and we encourage people to put your change in and then come and drop it in the offering. We've collected over about $2,000 so far. Part two, on Sunday, February 3rd, 1 month from today, we would like every family to, in addition to whatever your giving is, in addition, we would like every family to make a sacrificial gift of $100. That will 100% go towards the fund to provide meals for people in Haiti, the 70,000 meals, okay? So we're going to be mentioning and reminding you of that, so begin praying about that. $100 per family on Sunday, February 3rd. One more thing we want to start doing this week, because we got to kick it in now. We're a little behind the eight ball on raising the money. This week, I would like to have us start everyone in the church to fast one meal. One meal this week. What do you mean fast? It means don't eat. Okay? So if it's, and then you'll, if it's breakfast, you're not going to have breakfast that day. If it's lunch, you're not going to have lunch. If it's dinner, however you work it out. But here's the key. The money that you would have spent, whether you prepared that meal at home or whether you were going to eat out. Now, I hope you fast a meal where you're going to eat out, because it'll be a little more expensive, okay? You're going to take that money. We're going to identify with hunger by depriving ourselves of a meal and taking that money and helping and putting it towards the money that we have, we're raising to feed the poor. What do you think? Can we do it? Okay, great. Last thing, and then I'm done. Perfect timing. Wow. 10:11. Okay, worship team, you can get ready to come back up if they're around. There they are. Our lease on this property expires in 28 months. So April 30th, 2021? Yeah, 28 months. And we're beginning to explore facility options for the future. So right now we pay about $100,000 a year in rent for this place. And it serves us very, very well. But we've been doing that for many, many years. And, you know, I'm sure when our lease expires, it's going to go up. It actually goes up every year anyway. And, you know, some have shared with me that it may be time for us to begin thinking about, instead of paying rent, about having our own place, so that we can have a legacy for those that are going to follow. You know, I'm going to be here for a while, okay, but not forever. And it might, so we're exploring that as an option of, you know, what are we going to stay here in 2 years and 4 months? Will we sign another lease, or will we begin looking so we're looking at other options, and some of you will tap you on the shoulder if you have some experience in that. We may be able to get your help, and we'll do it together as elders and as a congregation, but we're praying about that. So here's what I want to do this morning. Okay, I want us to commit ourselves to the Lord today. I want every one of us to just look at ourselves and say, Lord, I want to be committed to you more than ever before, whatever that means. I want us to commit ourselves to each other as a church body and as a family. In spiritual relationships, loving each other, supporting each other, rejoicing with those who rejoice, weeping with those when we weep. And I want us to commit ourselves, if you feel this is your church, okay, to the work that God's doing here at Crossroads. So I want to close with Ryan, I'd like you maybe just to play quietly for a couple of minutes. And I want to give each of us the opportunity to let the Lord know that we're committing ourselves to Him. We're going to commit ourselves to each other in relationship, and we're going to commit ourselves to whatever it is that God calls us to do as a church. Why don't you just take some time now and quietly pray, and then I'll pray, and then we'll close out.